1 Corinthians 11, familiar passage, familiar place. We come to this passage just about four times every year, and usually it's at the Lord's Supper service. And we're going to read verses 23 through 26 tonight, and invite you now, as we get ready to think about the Lord's Supper service, to put aside the worries, the problems, the anxieties, and let's think on the Lord Jesus for a little while tonight and all that He's done for us, which is the very purpose and meaning of this entire ordinance. Let's stand together, please. We're going to read responsively 23 through 26. Please join me on those even-numbered verses. And the Lord says here, Paul said, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in other words, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come.'" And my dear Father, what a sacred, sacred moment tonight as we gather around this table. God, please cleanse our hearts. Purify us, dear Lord. I pray that You'll help us to be a good fellowship with You and with this church, with the folks in this church. As we gather around this table tonight, may there be nothing in our hearts that is between us and the Savior. May we be able to think on Him, about what He did, so that we can have a home in heaven. We thank You for this time. Bless it, please. And we'll be careful to give You the grateful thanks in Jesus' name. And amen. Thank you. Be seated. Ladies, for that. That was wonderful. I want to speak to you tonight on the timing of the Lord's Supper. And we've tried to come at the Lord's Supper from every angle possible. I know we had not exhausted it yet. Been a lot of years of bringing you Lord's Supper services. It never grows old to me. I always enjoy it. And so tonight I want to talk about the timing of the Lord's table. Dear Father, I thank You for the beautiful medley of songs we just heard about Calvary and the cross and glory to Your name. And that's how my heart feels tonight, glory to Your name. And I rejoice in salvation and thank You, Lord, for this privilege to gather at this table with these, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, I don't want anything in my heart to get in the way of whatever You want to accomplish there tonight. I want to be drawn much closer to Jesus after or because of this ordinance than even when I came tonight. Lord, make it real to us. Thank You so much for what You did for us. And help these thoughts to be a blessing, I pray, to these dear folks. In Christ's name I ask it. And amen. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church concerning the proper meaning of, purpose of, and use of the Lord's table. He wrote to straighten out the abuses that the church was guilty of concerning the Lord's table. They turned it into a mockery. You need to be careful when you're a part of something that mocks a New Testament church. It mocks what a New Testament church stands for. And be careful about that. They were mocking, making a mockery of the Lord's Supper, having a great big potluck dinner, and some people were gorging themselves. Other folks didn't have anything to eat whatsoever, went without food. It had nothing to do with Jesus or about Jesus. It was all about just having a good old time, and there was such schism and division in the church. So Paul wrote to them to straighten out the abuses that they were guilty of concerning this ordinance. Now, Paul reminded the saints in Corinth about the bread representing the body of the Lord Jesus. Paul reminded the saints in Corinth about the juice representing the blood of the Lord Jesus. He made it very clear that the ordinance was not for the purpose of salvation, but for the purpose of remembering the Savior. That's what we're here for tonight. He quoted Jesus twice in these verses, saying after the bread and juice were passed respectively on the Passover night, this do in remembrance of Me. So when we pass the bread and the juice in a little while tonight, it most certainly is not to bring you salvation. You're most certainly not eating and drinking the literal body and blood of Jesus Christ. This is all symbolic. It has everything to do about reminding us of the One who brought us salvation. His name is Jesus. The bread is to remind us of His perfect body. The body in which our own sins were born upon the tree. See, that was my sin He was dying for. That was your sin that was placed on His body. The body which was treated so inhumanely, so wickedly, which was a picture of what man really would like to do to God if he could. Now you think about that for a while. Spit, slap, pull the beard out with their fingers, buffet, mock, stab, crown of thorns. That's what man would like to do to God if he could. That was what was in the heart of man, completely opposite to what was in the heart of God. Amen. The body which was put to death to satisfy the wages of sin, which is death. Remember Him tonight in His body. The juice is to remind us of His spotless, sinless blood. Blood that was shed to atone for my sin. Blood that was shed to atone for your sin. Blood oozed and blood flowed and blood poured from many different places in His body until every last drop was spilt to redeem us from the clutches of Satan and hell. Remember Him tonight. It's not about bringing you salvation. It's about reminding you of the One who brought you salvation. Now, you're familiar with all that. The bread, the juice, and all that it represents. But I want to give you one interesting thought tonight besides that which we know well. Paul said in verse number 23, if you look at it, the last half of the verse, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed. The timing of the ordinance is important. The timing of it was important. For this reason, the disciples were about to go through the most confusing, disheartening, embarrassing, discouraging few days of their lives. You recall all that happened to them, don't you? You remember the disappointment they felt because of their failures during those days? And there were plenty of them, weren't there? Several of them. The pressure of their struggle against the powers of darkness. And believe me, friend, that's whom they struggled against. They struggled against the powers of darkness. I'm talking about these disciples. I'm talking about men like you and me. The remorse they felt because of their forsaking Him and fleeing. The embarrassment they felt for forgetting or not believing that Jesus said He would rise from the dead. If you take those several days and just look at them only from the vantage point of Matthew and John and James and Peter and Thomas and all those 12 disciples, Judas took his life. Horrible days. Gut-wrenching days. Horrible days. Those next several days in the lives of the disciples would be very difficult, to say the least. And when all of that was over, when all of that was past, the one thing that they were commanded to remember was the best thing about those horrible days. They were drawn to the greatest demonstration of love there ever has been throughout human history. Thank God. They were not destined to remember their failures. They were not destined to remember their disappointments. They were not destined to remember their regrets, their embarrassment of those few days. They were commanded by Jesus to gather together, to pass the bread and pass the juice, and remember it was His great love that was demonstrated on Calvary on that day. I want to say tonight, I believe with all my heart, you and I, friend, have the same experiences these men had. We have our share of disappointments, don't we? We have our share of failures. We have our share of embarrassments. We have our share of regrets. We have our share of betrayal. Yes, we do. We have our share of difficult days and difficult times when we feel the satanic pressure. We have our times when we battle the very powers of darkness. And boy, then you come to church on a Sunday night and set before you is a table. And on that table is bread, which represents His body. And on that table is juice, which represents His blood. And we're reminded tonight that in spite of the failures and the embarrassments and the remorse and the regret and the pressure and the betrayal and the disappointments, it's really the most important thing is Jesus. It's about Him. It's about His love. It's about His compassion. It's encouraging. It's uplifting to think He loves me. He loves me. Jesus loves me. All that stuff kind of fades into oblivion. I did a quick skim through 1 and 2 Peter this afternoon because this thing was on my heart and I was looking. And you know, as I skimmed through 1 Peter and 2 Peter, I didn't find it. You correct me if I'm wrong, those of you that know it a little bit better than I do. But I didn't find one mention, not one mention, of his denying the Lord Jesus. I didn't find one mention of his failure. I didn't find one mention of his disappointment. I didn't find one mention of his remorse. I didn't find one mention of his regret. And you know he had some. You know what he talked about? He talked about the great shepherd of our soul who in his own body bare our sins upon the tree. He talked about Jesus. And I'm saying tonight, friend, we have our days. We have our times. Brother, I'm telling you, and I'm not trying to play on anybody's sympathy tonight, I'm not asking for that at all. I'm just sharing with you, man, the last 10 or 11 days are days I would like to forget. I mean that with all my heart. Man, I've been shamed by mistakes. I'm talking about my mistakes. battles with the power of darkness, bruised by people, saddened by death, betrayed and disheartened by certain events. It was crazy. I don't have time to go into all the stuff the last 10 or 11 days. I was coming over here Thursday afternoon. I said, Mom, why don't you ride with me? I taught Providence and came home. I said, got to go pick up Cherith because Luke and Leah were over at Dwight. And I said, why don't you ride with me? I didn't get to see the folks hardly at all while they were here because of the funeral and everything. And that's what they came for. And I understand that. I said, well, Dad was taking a nap on the floor. Man alive, bless his heart. I think he has that sleep apnea. Are you okay, man alive? Oh, help us, Jesus. He was out. I wasn't going to bother him. Amen. So I said, Mom, why don't you ride over with me to the church and we just ride over together and pick up chairs. She said, I'd love to do that. Just spend a little time. So we rode over, and on the way over, I got a phone call from Brian. Pastor, you got a few minutes? I said, yes, sir. He said, man, we had some union trouble today. I said, no. Man, it turned into a whirlwind 24 hours. I sent her home with Cherith and stayed here and caught a ride later on the phone. That brother, and we have to be careful about, and I don't use his name because he said, Brother Terry said, man, if you know, don't use my name, don't use my company's name because he said, what I want to do for church is what I want to do, but man, if it gets out, everybody and their brother will call me. So he said, don't use my name. But you know, he's done so much. I shared that with you a couple of Wednesday nights ago. I mean, folks, to us, it's upwards of $75,000 to $80,000 just donated to the church. Pulled out of the contract completely, no contract. He's a union shop. He sent two of his installers who are union card-carrying, dues-paying men out of the Rock Island local and paid them Chicago-scale wages to come over here. Paid them out of his pocket, Chicago-scale wages, out of his pocket to install the particular stuff. And the very day they showed up, a business agent out of Chicago showed up and pulled him off the job. Said, you guys are outside your local. You're out. You're out of here. And you union men, you understand all that and everything. They tried to explain to him, sir, this is charity work. This is charity. This is a church. There's non-union and union contractors working side by side over there every day. This is a church. Pulled him off the job. Said, if you want to keep working here, you'll have to match it with two men out of Chicago. And the man called me. He said, brother, he said, I've done this before. He said, you know, my guys are on the job. They bring two men out of Chicago. They'll sit there and read the newspaper and make $50 an hour. He said, I ain't doing that. I said, no, you ain't doing that. He said, I don't know what to do. He was on the phone back and forth. I called that business agent. I said, sir, you do understand. This is free. There is no contract. He wouldn't back down, so they pulled off the job, which means now we got to bring a contractor in to do what was going to be done for free. Can you imagine that? I called the head union man in this area. I said, Steve, we talked for a while about that. That guy's name was Mike O'Donnell. I called him Friday morning, and I said, Mike, our contractor's gone. I didn't want it to end that way. I did this to be the community. There was no communication. I said, there's plenty of communication. You had his phone number, and he had yours. There's plenty of communication, sir. As a free job. Said, I will use your name and I will tell our church the whole story. How do you spell O'Donnell? I called the head man and I said, sir, I said, I'm shocked. He seemed shocked, and he called me Friday afternoon, all this with other stuff going on, and said, Pastor, now look, I think somebody just had a bad day here. A bad day. I guess he did have a bad day. Hey, we can work this out. We'll make that. I said, another church in town just said that they had a problem just to go to the paper with it, so I think I might. Boy, he spit all over himself. I mean, spit all over himself. I said, I'm disheartened that a man can't come do charity work for a church free, out of his own pocket, and get pulled off the job. They shot themselves in the foot big time. I got no axe to grind. But I'm just telling you, boy, that kind of stuff with about five or six other things going on that I'll not talk about from this pulpit, buddy. It has just been one of those 10 or 11 days I'd just like to roll up in a ball, throw away. You ever been there? Come on now, you've been there. Betrayed. Unbelievable. Throw it away. But then I got to thinking about this service. And I said, Lord, what a good time to get around that table. Because I looked down at those trays, and in a minute we'll pass that bread, we'll pass that juice, and we'll remember His body. I'll remember His blood. Body that was given to bear my own sins. Blood that was shed to pay for the price of my own sin. And you know what the truth of the matter is, friend? All of those things, all the sadness and all the disheartenment, the disheartening things, and all the shame of mistakes that I made myself, and all the big bruises, and all this, all of that pales in comparison when I look at what's represented on that table tonight. When I think of that, why did He go to Calvary? Why was His life's blood shed for me? Why did He suffer as no man has ever done? There's just one reason, and I am the one. Isn't that good? Glory to God. Maybe you don't need it tonight, but I need it, friend. I'll tell you. I need this ordinance. I need what it does. And it's interesting to me that Jesus, and I'm not asking for pity or sympathy. I'm asking for him to come up and pat me on the back and God bless you. Hey, listen, it's part of it. If you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. Amen. It goes with the territory. But I'm telling you the truth, brother. Thank God. He gave him that ordinance, knowing that the next several days would be days they would love to forget. He said, when you come out on the other side of all these days, boys, I want to give you something to do that'll call you back to what I did for you. And that's what we're doing tonight. We're going to pass these plates, and we're going to remember, in spite of our failure, in spite of our disappointment, in spite of our being disheartened, in spite of our difficulties, in spite of being sad, in spite of being betrayed, in spite of being mocked, in spite of all that, in spite of all that, what we remember tonight is He loves us. And loves us so much He was willing to give everything He had to make us His own. Man, do not miss the importance of the Lord's Supper. Don't miss the importance of the timing of the Lord's Supper. As you gather around that table tonight, let all those things dim in the light of His glory. Let's bow our heads together and thank God for this opportunity. Dear Father, from my heart tonight, I praise You for this ordinance. We're no different than Your disciples. We have days, weeks we'd like to forget. Lord, I thank You that we can come to a table tonight and rejoice in salvation and rejoice in Jesus. I thank You tonight for His body, His blood, what it means. And Lord, truly, the things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Help this service, help this passing of the bread and juice to be a blessing to folks tonight. God, we'll thank You for it. We love You. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I would encourage you tonight to prepare your heart for this time. You don't have to be a member of our church to participate in the Lord's Supper, but you do need to be in good fellowship with Jesus Christ. You should be in a good relationship with your church, and certainly not a part of anything that would mock a New Testament church. When the bread is passed, you take a piece, hold it in your hand. When it's all passed and we thank God for sending His Son Jesus to die, we'll eat that bread together. And you're not eating the body of Jesus, but crunching that bread, it should bring to your memory that your sins were laid upon His body on the tree. We pass that juice. You take a cup and hold it. Thank God for that fountain filled with blood that was drawn from His veins. Lay aside any bitterness. Lay aside any ugliness. Lay aside any grudge tonight. You're carrying some unconfessed sin, trying to justify some way of life that's unpleasing to God. Repent of it tonight and be right with Him. Anybody in the room, Brother Angel, I'm not saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? Let me pray for you. If you need to be baptized, we'll have time for that if you need to be baptized tonight. But let's prepare our hearts and thank Him for the privilege of having this ordinance. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies, play us a song of invitation. Yes. Play us that very song. Thank you. Yeah.